Thank you, Deanne. Thank you for the comments. Let me turn my camera on. Okay, with that, we'll just we have a presentation on Sweetwater's reopening and some athletic information as well. So I'll throw it to Dr. Agetti, to whoever's going to lead that.
Thank you, President Segura, Board of Trustees, members of the public. This evening, we're here presenting information and bringing forth a recommendation regarding how we proceed in the process that, according to the plan that our board has previously approved. There is no on-off switch, unfortunately. However, we do have a plan in place that allows us to progressively, over time, in a manner that's safe, bring forth a gradual reopening of our campuses for the multitude of activities that occur. So with that, I don't know if you may notice, I'm actually at a different location today. I'm at Montgomery High School, and I just wanted to make note that we are doing everything possible to help facilitate and support our community as the vaccinations begin to roll out. So the reason we're here today at Montgomery High School is because there was a vaccination event that was a partnership, a true partnership with the City of San Diego, with the County of San Diego, with multiple agencies. And so the reason we're able to do this is because we're working together in collaboration to support bringing vaccines to an area of our community and our county that has the highest rates of COVID-19. And so I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the hard work that went into that, because this is how we will be able to gradually return to what we all desire, which is having students on campus, having our communities not have to deal with this. So I thought it was important to bear repeating that this is hugely important, and our district is a critical partner in the community to ensure that we're being part of the solution and we're doing what we can to address our students, our staff, and our larger community as well. So I thought it was worth a moment. I'll ask Dr. Alvarez if she can start bringing up the PowerPoint presentation for this evening. As we do that, I wanted to kind of remind us of why we're here. Our reopening plan is such that it calls for us to make an announcement on March 1st, that would be on Monday, regarding our next steps. So we're bringing forward a set of recommendations regarding how we go to the next phase or the next stage of our reopening plan. And so with that in mind, I will ask the first piece is to have Mr. Tchaikovsky to go through the data and the metrics. I also wanted to emphasize and highlight the fact that prior to bringing this recommendation forward, as we had previously indicated, we did consult with our district physician, that would be Dr. Terrace out of UCSD. He's consulting with multiple districts as well as the county regarding kind of how we can proceed with a safe reopening plan for schools. And so again, just another point worth re-emphasizing, that we continue to consult with multiple agencies, with multiple experts, as we continue down this path that we are all seeking to go through, which is that gradual reopening process, again, in a manner that's safe, that follows the protocols that have been established, and that will allow us to have more students and staff gradually come on our campus in a manner that's safe. So with that, I will ask Mr. Tchaikovsky, if you can begin the presentation. Dr. Alvarez, were you able to bring that up on the screen?
Are you able to see it? I have it up on my screen. Is it not
it
up?
Is not, it is not presenting on the screen.
Okay, let me try one more time.
Okay.
If I cannot get up on the screen, maybe Deanne can. Let me try one more time and we'll...
And there we go.
There we go.
Okay. So next slide. So here, Mr. Tchaikovsky.
Thanks, Dr. Aguirre. Good afternoon, board members. It feels funny to say good afternoon. Education colleagues and community members. I'll begin our presentation by reviewing the revised reopening plan metrics and milestones from our November 29th meeting. Just to reiterate, rather than staking out a specific reopening date sometime in the future, we decided to use both data and tier status of the county of San Diego, and then also data from our 10 main zip codes that comprise the district's attendance area. So in order to be able to consider moving to stage two of our reopening plan, several requirements must have been met. So first, the county as a whole must have been placed back into tier two or lower. So to review that process, moving to tier two requires that three things mostly, that the adjusted 7-day case rate for the county has to be at 7.0 or lower, the testing positivity rate must be at 8% or lower, and the often less discussed health equity testing positivity percentage must be at 8% or lower. Furthermore, all of these metrics must be maintained for 2 consecutive weeks. And as of yesterday, Thursday the 25th, the adjusted rate had fallen to 15. So still above the threshold, but the other 2 metrics are now, fortunately, below the required thresholds. So again, there are many factors that could slow this progress with new strains, community behaviors, et cetera, but it looks like the county is on track if this progress continues for potentially a mid-March timeframe of moving to tier two. Again, if the progress holds. So the next reopening requirements in the plan are internal to the district. The second requirement is that the 14-day case rate for the district's 10 zip codes must be under 200 for 2 consecutive weeks. In a moment, we'll take a closer look at that. The third requirement is that the testing positivity percentage for, again, the district's 10 zip codes must be below 8% for 2 consecutive weeks. And then, as Dr. Aguirre referred to in the opening remarks, we will consult again with a district physician consultant and then adding a pediatric epidemiologist prior to moving forward. Then, once these indicators are met, then the district could open 2 weeks later to help provide all the necessary lead time for some final logistics. Okay, next slide, please. So this is just a very simple graph I made just to show the trends and positivity rates. And it shows the trend of the county below with the orange line and the district above in the blue for testing positivity. So seeing testing positivity for the county below and then above in blue, the district. And you can see the little red dotted line shows the district's threshold of also the county's threshold, which are the same for moving into tier two. The county is now below this, and they're grouped by week period of interest. If you go to the county HHSA page, it'll actually show it's below 5 today, but these are shown for continuity week by week with the number that's published at CDPH on 12 o'clock noon on Tuesdays. Due to the lag in where we get the data for the zip code breakout, I don't have the data for the last period of interest, but this is an estimate of 6.4 using basically the ratio from the previous period of interest. So at the very least, our district is either near or might be below this metric already, which is fantastic news. So things are moving in the right direction. And thank you. So this slide has a lot of information. Let me just reiterate, the 14-day case rate is one of 3 major ways that case rates are expressed that you see in the news, et cetera. So this is one of the CDC metrics, not to be confused with the 7-day case rate formulae of the CDPH, and then where it expresses it per day, nor the CDC per week. So this is a 14-day figure. So you, if you can see, I apologize if it's too tiny to see, that the periods of interest are 2 weeks in length, and it shows them going back to from late December to the most current one that's available from the San Diego County Office of Ed webpage up to the 14th. This data, again, comes direct from that webpage that was built for this express purpose. So this graph shows a good deal of information in one place. It shows the data for 10 district zip codes expressed in the overlapping 14-day periods of interest from the virus peak at the end of December to its steady decline through mid-February. And there's 12 bars in each period of interest. The first 10 are our district zip codes of each of the 10. And then it's followed by the 11th bar. The second one from the right is the district average, that dark blue. And then the dark green is the county average. And I've arranged them so the final position is the order of the legend. So there's three really noteworthy trends shown here. Of course, the overall decrease in case rates is striking across the board. Every metric falls from a peak during the late December and or early January timeframe to recent lows that we have not seen since November. My colleagues at the county are overwhelmed this week with vaccination work, so they haven't updated the page yet today, which often happens on Friday. But when you look at the granular HHS data, it would indicate that this trend of an increase across the board continues to the most current data. The second trend I wanted to highlight for everybody is that the gap between the last two bars, the district